People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight and driving about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight inside me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a part of dynasty. If we don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You running down my country, man. You walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a corporate dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you running down my country, man, you walking on the fight inside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all you who might be listening this morning in the European Heartland. Well, lots more news and views for our people, we've got so much to talk about today. Of course, yesterday, Thursday, there was yet another terrorist attack in Europe, but gleefully claimed by ISIS, as they said, some of their soldiers had done this. And 20 people were killed in downtown Barcelona by a vehicle driven apparently by several people, or I shouldn't say driven by, but there's several people in the and 20 people killed, 100 injured, ISIS claiming this yet again. When are we going to learn when are we going to learn there is a problem, there is a clash of civilizations, or perhaps not even a civilization, but there's a clash there. What do we have? What good stuff coming up tomorrow in Montreal, in Quebec? French Canadian nationalists are going to be protesting in Quebec City against the immigration invasion, and this is out of today's National Post. Sunday, Quebec City police are confident that they will have enough officers on the ground to avoid a big confrontation on Sunday when opposing groups on the left and the right of the political spectrum carry out simultaneous protests in the provincial capital. And it's a protest about the thousands of illegals streaming across the U.S.-Quebec border because the Canadian authorities simply refuse to enforce common sense law. There's a legal fiction, but it's really just legal nonsense. And that the fiction is this, or I would show the reality is this. The United States is by treaty considered a third safe country, which means that if a person lands in the United States and they wish to make a refugee claim, they must do it there because it's recognized the United States has protections for various freedoms, due process, and so on. So if you feel you qualify as a refugee, you're obligated to make your claim there, not skedaddle up and then cross into Canada because maybe the welfare is better, or you think there's Canada's even easier touch than the United States. And so if a person presents himself at a border crossing, you know, that's where the CBSA, that's Canada Border Services Agency, is, and says, what's that guy that dealt with the other day? Hyacinth. I'm Hyacinth. Yeah, girl's name. But anyway, I'm Hyacinth from Haiti. And I want to claim refugee status. Well, they would they'd probably be allowed to stay briefly for a couple of days, but they would be quickly sent back because they're obligated to make their claim in the United States. Okay, if Hyacinth, male or female, were to walk 100 yards down the border from this border crossing and cross through a field, well, we would then play silly bugger. Hello? 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 I'm doing my radio show. I'll call you back, okay? Okay. We would play silly bugger and say, well, we don't know where they came from. And because we're not sure they came from the United States, well, then they're allowed to make a refugee claim, which means all sorts of goodies come their way. First of all, welfare. Legal aid to make their claim. Well, they've got no place to say, oh, well, don't worry, we'll take care of you. Or if it means it's not the federal government, it'll be the provincial government. You need some upgrading in your language skills, we'll do that for you. You have no observable job skills, or at least they're not skills we need in Canada. No problem, training, and so on. Oh, dental care, your teeth are in bad shape. We'll give you better dental care than Canadians on welfare get. So it's the promised land. And because the Canadian justice system moves so slowly, it will take a long time. It could take 3 to 5 years before these people are finally adjudicated. And then if they're not very happy with the result, well, they can rag it out further by making a humanitarian claim. Meanwhile, if it's a male, he's knocked up a few females up here, and he'll say, well, it wouldn't be fair. Yeah, I'm not really a refugee, but okay, it wouldn't be, it's not fair to deport me. I'm the father of these two or three little dusky Canadians. The system is a scam, and the biggest scam is right at the beginning. Why do we play silly bugger and say, well, we don't know where this person came from? Well, of course he came across the border. We caught him walking across the border. He came from the United States, obviously. It is the United States on the other side. If he wanted to make a refugee or some other claim, it was his obligation to make it there. Well, that's what these young fellows or these people are going to be protesting. La Mouette, a strong nationalist group, and it's anti-Islamic, has already sent its security department, former Quebec officer, police officers, to talk to Quebec City Police and obtain the necessary permits to demonstrate against the policies of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in the face of the scourge of illegal immigration. It is a scourge. At the same time, a group called Action Citoyenne Contre la Discrimination, that's Citizens Against, literal translation is against discrimination. The paper translates it as against racism, is joining ranks with Bienvenue's white refugee to hold its own protest to block hate and racism. How is it hate to want to protect your own country? This is where basic terminology has been completely hijacked. Basic terminology. How is it hate to want to protect your own province? Well, it's not. And in fact, I would argue it is hate. Is actually hate to enable the invasion of your own country. That's hate. That's hate for your own people. What else may also be coming down? Attente, another nationalist group in Quebec City, will also be attending. Some have military backgrounds. And it looks as though there will be a really good turnout. We'll I'll report on that later. One of the interesting things in all this is that there is pushback coming all across the country. At the other end of the country, in Vancouver, there's going to be a protest tomorrow against massive immigration, particularly Muslim immigration. And already the mayor of Vancouver is denouncing it. I always have a problem with politicians denouncing citizens speaking up. You know, there has gradually been a hijacking of the political process. Politicians' job should be to listen. That's right. Not to say, you shut up. Well, you can't say that. The job of the politician should be to listen to what people are saying. In fact, that's one of the reasons for the tremendous alienation we see in society today. Nevertheless, though, in Vancouver, the mayor of the city, he's an interesting guy. His name is Gregor Robertson. He has stated that he wants to condemn racism. Well, they always want to condemn racism, don't they? I want to try to get this for you. There's going to be a counter protest by the people who like massive immigration or don't want any immigration laws. He's encouraging that. And actually, what I think he's doing, although maybe not quite in as many words, he's really encouraging violence, in my opinion. Let's see here. There's a number of things going on. This is from the BC TV News. Vancouver officials are speaking out against a rally of right-wing extremists planned for Saturday afternoon. The gathering, organized by the World Coalition Against Islam Canada and the Anti-Immigration Cultural Action Party of Canada, is being held outside City Hall, and members of the Soldiers of Odin are also expected to attend. While there's little authorities can do to prevent the rally from happening, Mayor Gregor Robertson denounced the event Tuesday and voiced his support for a planned counter-protest. "I think it's really important that people speak out at every opportunity against racism and hatred. I know there will be a vigorous turnout of people protesting the white supremacist rally." Isn't it interesting? All the labels. Now, this guy is dating a China woman. He's dating sort of a Chinese chanteuse, whose mother is in all sorts of trouble in China for, I think it's something like money laundering. Anyway,
Not exactly the type of guy who's protecting our people, is he? But the rally hasn't occurred. Nobody has said a thing yet. And yet he's already decided.
Let's see, what are the terms he throws out at it? People should speak every opportunity to speak against racism and hatred. Well, how is the opposing the invasion of your country racism or hatred? And he's glad that there'll be a vigorous turnout of people protesting the white supremacist rally. There is a shocking tendency on the part of some of the scallywag politicians to denounce things, to label any sign of patriotism on the immigration issue with every nasty label they can apply. I'm not sure. I'm not surprised they haven't yet called it neo-Nazi, but white supremacist. How is it white supremacist not to want your nation invaded and radically changed? That's just natural. That's basic, decent, self-preserving human nature. What is unnatural is the immigration policy that's being imposed on Canadians. They have the right to demonstrate, but hatred and racism have no place in the city, and I expect people to confront that. So he already has decided that the opposition to an invasion is hatred and has no place in the city. Oh yes, but massive third world invasion does. As of Wednesday afternoon, only 18 people had signed up to indicate that they'd be attending. And there, it looks as though this is all on Facebook and doesn't necessarily mean much. More than 1,600 RSVP to the Oppose the Racists in Metro Vancouver counter rally. And another thing that's got people stirred up in Vancouver. There's a flyer going around, there's some people that are all bent out of shape about that. And this is, the world defeated the wrong enemy. And this is a flyer that's being handed out in Vancouver, and it urges people to look at the video, The Greatest Story Never Told. Dennis Wise's excellent production, and you can get it on YouTube, on the internet. You ought to watch it. The Greatest Story Never Told. It's the real story about World War II, about Adolf Hitler, and how we have been fed largely a bill of goods. Let's see. This isn't the only the event isn't the only sign of growing racial tensions in the city. A number of South Vancouver residents were shocked to find Nazi flyers slipped through their mailboxes in the middle of the night this week. The flyers feature a picture of Hitler under the words "The world defeated the wrong enemy," and directs recipients to a propaganda website. Well, is it propaganda really, or is it just a website? Of course, they quote several people. Really shocked. Maxwell Balin told CTV News he was jolted awake by one of the flyers coming through the mail slot, and it hit me really pretty hard. He said, "You've been hearing a lot of what's going on in the world, and suddenly now it's happening at your doorstep." What's happened? Well, all that's happening is you're being invited, if you're interested, if you've got an inquiring mind, to go and check out the video, The Greatest Story Never Told. And I think we're absolutely certain, certainly I am, that we fought the wrong people in World War II. It's hard to remember with all the post-war propaganda, when Britain initially declared war on National Socialist Germany on September 1st, 1939, Germany had invaded Poland to try to, at long last, force the Poles to fairly treat their substantial German minority, which had been, in many cases, murdered, beaten, raped. The Poles were terrible to these people. Now, this was not Britain's fight, although Britain had egged Poland on in the belief that as depleted as Britain's army was, that it could still threaten National Socialist Germany and threaten to invade. Threaten war them with war. Well, they did have declare war. The cry at the time was that this was to defend Poland's independence. Not long later, the Soviet Union invaded Poland from the east. But the West did not declare war on France and Britain and Canada and the United States. The United States was not in it yet. Did not declare war on the Soviet Union, the Communist Soviet Union, but only on National Socialist Germany. Well, when all was said and done and the war was over and National Socialism was defeated, what was the result? Did Poland have its independence? No. Poland was given over to the communists. So the bright ideals of World War II were massively betrayed, and many people think they never were the true ideals. You can make a very strong case that we fought the wrong country in World War II. Perhaps we should not have fought anybody, but if we were to fight somebody, it perhaps should have been the cancer of communism, which of course would oppress Eastern Europe from 1945 till the very early 90s. The victory in quotation marks that some people think we achieved in World War II was a very shallow victory, certainly for countries like Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia, and others. A very shallow victory indeed. We basically turned them over to almost half a century of communism and oppression and so on. And that's what those pamphlets are pushing at, are drawing one's attention to. And I strongly recommend, if you've not seen it, to tune in to the, and you can get it on YouTube, The Greatest Story Never Told. Anyway, that's what these pamphlets were about. And as usual, they've twisted the tales of the politically correct, who, of course, want no view but their own heard. Here we have the RCMP's role with border crossers as bellhops and Walmart greeters. This is from Immigration Watch Canada. We have a few questions for Canada's Public Safety Minister, Captain Clueless Justin Trudeau, and Canada's Immigration Minister. That's the Somali Ahmed Hassan. He's a former head of the Somali Canadian Association. He's an immigration lawyer. He was a so-called refugee. He's a Muslim. Just all those great things to stand on guard for us. His appointment was a bitter joke on Canadians. And these are the questions from Immigration Watch Canada. What directions have you given the RCMP? Canadians are getting a number of impressions. A, all you have told the RCMP to act as virtual bellhops, that is, RCMP officers should pick up the baggage of the illegals and facilitate their entry into Hotel Canada. B, to phrase the matter slightly differently, you've told the RCMP to act like Walmart greeters. The difficulty for you is that most Canadians would compare these border crossers to virtual shoplifters. C, you've ordered the RCMP to go out of their way to be welcoming. We've seen television footage which show the RCMP officers desperately trying to shake the hands of these illegals. Are these officers actually congratulating these people for breaking into our house? The PM has told Canadians that he thinks Canada is a post-national state. That is, that the nationalist or protectionist thoughts of Canadians will be suppressed. The problem is that most Canadians still think of Canada as their house, whose doors should be protected. What about you, public safety minister, immigration minister? Since the three of you seem to think that, quote, everything is under control, would you please tell Canadians the cost of basically doing nothing to stop the inflow? We are referring to the cost of processing refugee claims, and that they're usually
put at about $50,000 per refugee. So isn't it nice that somebody can bustle their way across our border, be greeted by the Mounties, put us to immediate cost of $50,000 to process them, and because they've got no place to stay, we're going to put them up. In other words, a cash register starts ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-chinging right off the bat. It must be nice.
And that is because of the terminal folly and collaboration of our leaders. And Immigration Watch continues, we are referring to the cost of processing asylum claims, providing welfare and medical services. We gather, excuse me, that is why, stewards, you've done some projections. Can you give us your estimates? I think a very, very good question. Here's another item, but this is actually from last week, but another free speech outrage, and I entitled this Pushy Wiesenthalers Horning on a Flea Market. Nazi, the headline of the Toronto Sun says, Nazi memorabilia at Pickering Flea Market concerns Jewish group. Why should I be concerned? Anyway, story goes, a Pickering Flea Market vendor is selling memorabilia venerating the murderous Nazi regime. Well, that's not quite true. It's selling memorabilia from a historical era. A.B. Ben Lolo, president and CEO of the Canadian Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies, said police, the flea market owners, and the local mayor's office have all been contacted about the display, which features Nazi flags, Adolf Hitler stamps, and Hitler youth pins. Well, how do any of those venerate National Socialism? They are memorabilia. Come from that time. Why should that be a cause for a protest? How is that even a police matter? Unless the suggestion is they're somehow stolen, why do we get involved the police in nonsense like this? And how is it the matter of the concern of the mayor?
We were there observing the reaction of customers, some of whom actually said that Adolf Hitler was a hero and admired by family members. And that was the most disconcerting thing, Ben Lolo said.
Oh, you mean that some people might actually think that Adolf Hitler was not all that bad?
70 some years of intensive brainwashing and propaganda still haven't done their job. I understand how that can be frustrating. Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, which estimates the value of the large collection at $5,000, said the only place for this type of Nazi memorabilia is in the field of Holocaust education, and having it sit on the shelf for sale in Pickering, in a Pickering flea market, gives the potential to fuel distortion and revisionism of the Holocaust.
You mean the new religion of Holocaust? It just might. I mean, how a National Socialist flag would cause anybody to reconsider the new religion of Holocaust? Heaven only knows. I mean, it's just a flag, or Hitler stamps from World War the 1930s and 1940s. They're just stamps. They're not even an argument about the new religion of Holocaust. They're just objects. You see the absolute controlling mania of these anti-free speechers and members of the Zionist lobby. They just can't abide anybody having a free thought or an opinion without them wanting to control it or censor it or
bitch and moan about it. Dana Howe, an employee at Roadshow Antiques South, located in the Pickering Markets, said the display is offered by an independent vendor. And she said, when it appeared here, I was upset by it myself. And my boss actually had to take me into the office and explain that it's history. We deal in antiques and older things here that are part of history. There's no sort of Nazi slant going on here, certainly. These are old things, and our vendors are allowed to sell old things as long as they're legal. They go on more about that. Anyway, there's a growing market, especially among the growing number of white supremacist groups in North America, for this type of material, which promotes hatred, racism, and intolerance, he said. That's Ben Lolo. Ben Lolo said the memorabilia is from a regime that murdered 6 million Jews and 5 million non-Jews in concentration camps. That's nonsense. And led to the deaths of some 50 million people in the Second World War. Maybe the countries that attacked National Socialist Germany, countries like France, England, and Russia deserve some blame for the 50 million corpses in World War II. Anyway, Ben Lolo gets all this publicity, and he says, they are anti-everything that we stand for here in Canada, and here you have Canadians that are actually celebrating this kind of thing, said Ben Lolo. There's actually a market for this, and I think that all Canadians should be aware and concerned that this is happening right around us. Oh, who, boo, hoo, hoo. You mean somebody actually doesn't share your view on something, A.B. Ben Lolo. Now, it does not appear that that Ben Lolo's protest has driven the whichever vendor is selling the National Socialist memorabilia. So this is one that I guess they didn't win. But the effrontery of these people, these are simply artifacts from a bygone era. And I think there is going to be pushback against this control freakery that seems to be so widespread. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the funny side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to take a short musical interlude here, and I'll be back with more news and views for our people, of course, right after that. I've got have a tune here by called the Little Mountain Church House with Carl Jackson. This is a good bluegrass gospel. Well, as soon as this ad finishes.
Thoughts of yesterday, where friends and family gathered for the Lord. There an old-fashioned preacher, off the straight and narrow way, for what few coins a congregation could afford. Dressed in all our Sunday best, we sat on pews of solid oak, and I remember how our voices filled the air. Our mama sounded like an angel on those high soprano notes. So when the roll's called yonder, I'll be there. Looking back now, that little mountain church house has become my life's cornerstone. It was there in that little mountain church house I first heard the word to base my life upon. Thank you.
best Sunday singings and dinner on the ground. Many were the souls that were revived, while the brothers and the sisters who'd gone on to glory land slept in peace in the maple grove nearby. Looking back now, that little mountain church house has become my life's cornerstone. It was there in that little mountain church house I first heard the word to base my life upon. Looking back now, that little mountain church house has become my life's cornerstone. It was there in that little mountain church house I first heard the word to base my life upon.
That's Carl Jackson and Little Mountain Church House. Gonna play some patriotic Canadian songs by Stompin' Tom Connors, and he was a one of a kind sort of guy. He traveled all around the country, bumming away around the country, various jobs, even as a tobacco picker for a while in a song in Tilsonburg, and a song he made famous by just that. And he was a great. He had a great appreciation for the people of this country and the geography of this country. A sort of very upbeat, don't take yourself too serious form of patriotism, which is kind of nice. And this is a song called CANAD, or Canada.
C-A-N-A-D-A. Tell me, what's a Douglas fir? C-A-N-A-D-A. Bet you never heard of bobcat fir. C-A-N-A-D-A. Have you ever seen a lobster crawl? In Canada, we get to see them all. We get to see the maple trees, maple sugar and the maple leaves. We get the biggest wheat fields growing tall. In C-A-N-A-D-A, where we see the reversing falls, in Canada, we get to see them all. C-A-N-A-D-A, tell me, what's a tidal bore? C-A-N-A-D-A, have you ever heard the ocean roar? C-A-N-A-D-A, just listen to that wild goose call, in Canada, we get to see them all. The maple trees, maple sugar and the maple leaves. We got the biggest timber woods so far. In C-A-N-A-D-A, where adventure ever calls, in Canada, we get to see them all. C-A-N-A-D-A, have you ever heard of Maple Creek? C-A-N-A-D-A, bet you never seen a mountain peak. C-A-N-A-D-A, in the land of the big snowball, in Canada, we get to see them all. We get to see the maple trees, maple sugar and the maple leaves. We got the biggest wheat fields growing far. In C-A-N-A-D-A, where we see the reversing falls, in Canada, we get to see them all. C-A-N-A-D-A, have you ever seen a magnetic elf? C-A-N-A-D-A, or a lady on a dollar bill. C-A-N-A-D-A, bet you never seen the autumn fall. In Canada, we get to see them all. We get to see the maple trees, maple sugar and the maple leaves. We got the biggest timber woods so far. In C-A-N-A-D-A, where adventure ever falls. In Canada, we get to see them all. I say in Canada, we get to see them all.
Stompin' Tom Connors and C-A-N-A-D-A, Canada. I'm going to play one more by Stompin' Tom. This is one called My Stompin' Grounds.
I had a little help with the idea of this song. A fellow Newfoundlander, by the way, a fellow by the name of Roy Payne, gave me the idea to write this here song. and with his idea and with a little bit of my lyrics and a tune, we come up with a number that's called My Stomping Grounds. If you'll abide with me on this one, it's true as I feel it. I guess it's in the gear D, boys. I've been all across this country, from the East Coast to the West, and I've been asked about 1,000 times what places I like best. Well, I've had to base my answers on the friendly people I've found, and if you're inclined to take the time, this is where you'll find my stomping grounds. Just take a little piece of PEI, old Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick, way back in Newfoundland, Alberta and Manitoba, Ontario and BC, and you'll have found the stomping grounds of all my friends and me. You'll have found the stomping grounds of all my friends and me. You know, there was a time of a buddy of mine when a freight train was our abode. We found people in this here land that would help a guy along the road. Some of them lived in a country, and others lived in town. But these are the people that made me proud to say this is my stomping ground. Just take a little piece of PEI, old Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland, Alberta and Manitoba, Ontario and BC, and you'll have found the stomping grounds of all my friends and me. You'll have found the stomping grounds of all my friends and me. Now you've heard my answer. It's one I hope you'll understand. It's just my way of kind of saying thank you to the people of this land. And it doesn't matter really where you're from, you can spread the word around. Wherever you find a heart that's kind, you're in a part of my stomping ground. Just take a little piece of PEI, that old Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland, Alberta and Manitoba, Ontario and BC, and you'll have found the stomping grounds of all my friends and me. And you'll have found the stomping grounds of all my friends and me.
And that's Stompin' Tom Connors and My Stomping Ground, a great patriotic song, a great man. He passed away just a couple of days after our great free speech champion, Doug Christie, did in March of 2013. So Stompin' Tom, always a voice for, I like to think, constructive patriotism. You know, we're under attack, and it's so boring to watch CNN News, which is almost nonstop vilification of Donald Trump. There was the attack on Thursday.
We were sitting just on the front row of a cafe, and
this is in,
all of a sudden we just
Finland.
Heard this woman scream really, really loudly. And first we thought, it's just an internal fight between two people, but then we saw this huge knife. This guy was having this huge knife in his hand, and he was just several times he was stabbing this person, and it was then on the ground, and people were just running everywhere, and we ran into this cafe where we hid, and this guy was just constantly stabbing at people.
Two people killed, and I think it was 8 wounded by a person stabbing at them in the Finnish city of Turku. This is clearly a terrorist attack. Europe is under attack. The assailant was shot
and not killed, but taken to hospital. the mayor of prime minister of Finland said the act is utterly deplorable and exceptionally serious violent offense. It's deeply shocking for all of us. It's interesting that at least so far that there's been no identification of the suspect, the man who stabbed these people. It certainly has the earmarks of a terrorist incident, though. Europe is clearly under attack, and I think the time has come for people to be a lot more realistic. We have to get control of immigration. We're going to see here, mentioned the concerns for the protests tomorrow in Vancouver, and I think we have some additional information about that, just trying to call it up here for you. This is the call to action at City Hall in Vancouver from the Immigration Watch Canada. Immigration Watch Canada is supporting the Cultural Action Party's rally at City Hall, Vancouver City Hall, this Saturday at 2. this rally is attracting a very large amount of attention. The CBC and other media are connecting it to the rally in Charlottesville. The mayor of Vancouver is denouncing the organizers. Here's how one radio station has treated it. Now, this is from Global News. In the wake of the, what they call it, racist rally that turned deadly in Charlottesville, Virginia, the city of Vancouver is set to hold its own pair of dueling demonstrations between anti-immigrant groups and counter-protesters. A Saturday event dubbed the WCAI Canada CAP rally has been posted to Facebook by right-wing media group and list speakers from several anti-immigrant groups. That prompted a counter rally organized by an ad hoc group calling itself Stand Up to Racism Metro Van. It'll be interesting to see how this turns out. And what I take so much encouragement from is is that so many people across Canada are speaking up. There are these little uprisings everywhere. And it's long overdue. People are finally reasserting themselves. The dispossessed Canadian majority has been dispossessed and pushed around and ignored for too long. And people are fed up. I've explained this to media people who are shocked at what's happening. Canadians have been pushed around for just too long. They've had their concerns. I was talking to a store employee today who said, I guess it's going to be pretty tough to be German now. Now, I don't know the guy. I know who he is, but I've never had a political conversation with him. I don't know if he perhaps somehow knew who I was. And it was an odd thing to say. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, he said, after what's happened in Charlottesville. And so I thought, I'll take a chance on this guy. So I said to him, well, people are fed up. He said, I know exactly what you mean. And so I then built on that a little bit. And I said,
Canadians, particularly European Canadians, realize that they're the victims of discrimination. But the only people who get any publicity, who have any place in the media, are the various minority groups, always bitching and carping about this or that. They want this, they demand that. They're not happy with something else. A lot of white people now realize they're the ones who are dispossessed. That's right, we're the ones who are dispossessed of employment equity, or the Americans call it affirmative action. It disadvantages white young whites seeking entrance to universities, or particularly in jobs, and particularly in promotions, because they're looking for, well, they're not looking for you if you're a white male. They're looking for somebody else. And you know, he was nodding. And I told him the story of a person I had met at a, I guess about 8 months ago, and he was a waiter in a popular sports bar in Calgary. He was a young, good-looking young white guy, and we got chatting, and I asked, oh, where are you from? And he said, oh, Ottawa. I said, well, that's kind of a long way away, isn't it? And what are you doing out here in Calgary? Well, he said, after he graduated from university, he followed his girlfriend, who works for one of the major airlines, and she was being transferred to Calgary. So I thought I'd go a little bit further and ask, well, you know, obviously has a university degree, what's he doing waiting tables? Not that there's anything wrong with waiting tables, but I said, well, so what were you hoping to be or do? I didn't want to, you know, make him feel badly about what waiting tables, but you know, you can see where my question was going. He said, I wanted to be a policeman. I said, oh yeah, well, what happened? Well, he said, after you graduated from university, they just weren't looking for people like me. I said, well, what do you mean? I mean, I knew exactly what he meant, but I wanted him to put it into words. Well, he said, you know, I guess I have white privilege. They're looking for, well, you know, hems and haws. Well, you know, minorities. I said, yeah. So I said, you know, have you ever thought? He said, you've been told you have white privilege. What privilege did being white or European get for you? It got you nothing. You don't have a privilege. It was a disadvantage, and even more of a disadvantage that you're a white male. Far from having privilege, you're a victim, and you've been victimized because you're white. And you know, I can see the light go on. You see, I think sometimes our role is sometimes say in religious circles, a prophetic role. It's not to preach at people or to hector them, but I think it's to gently lead them. Lead them often not from ignorance to knowledge, but lead them to connect the facts they already have. I mean, he knew he didn't get on the police force because he was the wrong sex and the wrong color. You know, they're looking for non-whites or Aboriginals, or that those are our Indians, and women. So, you know, he just didn't fit. Now, was that his fault? Well, no. So, far from having, and see, what I think the predator tries to do is to help you short-circuit your own thinking by telling you, oh, you've got white privilege. Whites have everything, and this is so you're supposed to be made to feel guilty. And so if you don't get a chance at a job because of the color of your skin, you're supposed to somehow feel, well, I guess I deserved it. Well, no, he didn't deserve it. That is the rankest form of discrimination. In fact, it's even worse. If you got the job simply because you were white, then that would actually be a benefit, because your parents had helped, and your ancestors had helped build this country. Far from it being somehow a scandal or a shame, I would see it as a good thing. But it was not that way. he failed to get the job precisely because he was a member of the European family settler people. He's white. So propaganda is a good way to make people accept the unacceptable. You see, if you believe somehow you have this thing called white privilege, then you may feel less angry because you've been cheated out of what you ought to have. And in this case, what he ought to have is an opportunity to be a policeman. You have a university training, which is something they're beginning to look for more and more in police forces. He certainly looked more than physically fit, good size and all that. And we'll just assume for sake of argument that he had the mental aptitudes and so on. Then why couldn't he be a policeman? Well, in Canada today, or in many jurisdictions, just the wrong color. They're not looking for white men. I was kind of pleased with that at that incident. I'll tell you why. Because I was able to assist him to see his own dispossession and to be angry about it, to focus his anger. It was not just the way things are. He'd been cheated, and he'd been cheated on a ground that he'd been told all his life was wrong. Discrimination based on race is wrong, he'd been told. But it happened to him. And what I try to do, and I think it's the job of all of us, to try to help other whites to see their dispossession. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. Show's repeated in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as always, do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.